Jordan, if you have not met me yet, I'm glad you guys are here because I know that, where's all the homecoming people last night? Who went to homecoming? Whoop. I didn't go to homecoming last night. I'm too old. And the Seahawks are playing right now, if you didn't know that, and I'm not going to spill it for you, but I'm glad you guys are here this morning. Who went to group life this last week? There's all my group. Joke's on you if you didn't go to group life because we gave everybody $20 for going to group life this week. Just kidding. Ah, sucks for you. Just kidding. We didn't actually do that. But group life started this week, and as you may have heard, we have groups on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday now. So we got a bunch of different days, and you guys, if you want to sign up for group life, it's not too late. You can pull out your phone right now, go to our HP Students app, and you can get all signed up online. So you could do that right now, actually, if you wanted to. I don't really care. You can pull your phone out. Just don't check the score of the Seahawks game. But we're starting a new series today. Last 3 weeks, I believe, we were talking in a series called Jump, and we talked about creating a church that's a place where we want to bring our friends. We talked about stress, we talked about busyness, we talked about all that stuff. So today we're going to start a new series, and it is called Loud and Clear. So basically what we're going to be looking at is we're going to be looking at God's will and how sometimes God's will for our life, sometimes it's loud and clear, and sometimes we're not exactly sure what is actually going on. So we're going to talk about that today, and I really like talking about it because I grew up in church, and I was a church kid, and I did little church things like, we had this thing, it was like Boy Scouts, it wasn't like Boy Scouts, it was called caravans. So what we would do is we would come, and we wore like a sash, and you had to wear blue jeans, white shirt, you had to wear the uniform. We had a sash, so like if you made a tent, you got like a tent sash, and if you like cooked dinner for your mom, you got like a little food thing. And so I did that, and I grew up in church. And there's a lot of things that you learn in church sometimes when you're growing up, depending on where you are, that can kind of be different than what we believe now, what I believe now. And that happened to me as I was growing up. I was taught one thing about God's will, or I guess I came to know it and thought that way. And then as I got older, I realized that God's will is a lot different than what I thought when I was growing up. So if you don't know what God's will is, what that term is, God's will is basically like a plan. Think about it like a plan. It's his plan for your life. And there's two big ways that people view God's plan. There's the blueprint, and there's the game plan. And so, up on the screen here, there's going to be a picture of a blueprint. This is a blueprint. I'm not even sure what it is. I can't even read that, but it looks like it says Pokemon. It looks like it says Pokemon. Let me read it real quick. Pokemakapatsepatras. Yep, got it. I think it's in Russian. It's a ship, and it's a blueprint of a ship. And so the thing you notice about a blueprint is when they're building it, they have to follow the blueprint exactly like it is. Otherwise, this guy's going to turn into Titanic 2.0 because it's going to crash, sink, everybody's going to be in the water, and it's not going to end well. They're going to make a movie, and Leonardo DiCaprio is going to kiss somebody. But they have to follow. I haven't actually seen Titanic, so I don't know why I said that. But they have to follow the blueprint. Otherwise, the ship is going to fail. The building's going to collapse. So a lot of people see life like a blueprint, God's will like a blueprint, that every single second, every moment, every action, everything you do, planned out like a map, like a blueprint. And I like to think of God's will for my life more like a game plan. So if you're an athlete in the room, football players, basketball players, you know what a game plan is. I never played football because they told me I was like too big. Is Foster here today? Foster's not here. Dang it. I was gonna tell him how big I am, and he's not even here today. Foster is one of our football players here, and the dude is, what is he like? Naomi, how tall is he? 6'6 and like 300 pounds? Yeah, almost as big as me. that was weird. But if you play football, basketball, you know that your coach comes up with a game plan. And so what the game plan is it's kind of like a script. You follow like, oh, if it's 1st and 10, here's a play that we're going to run. I think that's how it goes, right, football players? Something like that? Yes? Yes, okay, close enough. So that's kind of what a game plan looks like. I know in basketball, I did play basketball, there would be like 5 set plays that we would have, and we would run them. There would be a person that we would guard specifically. We would double team that person. We had a game plan, so then we knew what we wanted to do coming into this game. But the thing about the game plan is that the game plan never, ever went perfectly. Think of when I played basketball, we'd have our set plays, but then somebody on our team would steal the ball, run it for a layup, and score. And then think about football players. You guys know that somebody fumbles the ball, somebody drops the ball, and you want to kill them. The other team scores a touchdown. Like, that is definitely not on your game plan to have the other team score against you. So that's the way that I see life, is that it's kind of scripted out. There's some generalities for us, but there's a lot of freedom to decide and choose for us in life. And if you're kind of having trouble grasping this, this is my favorite analogy ever. And if my friends kind of know this, some of my friends know this, I'll talk about this for days. But if you want to throw that roadmap up there, I'm gonna teach you the Jordan Merck way. Okay? So this is how I see life. Okay? Like this. Cool? Make sense? Cool? Now. Alright. So we are in Seattle right now, which is I hope you know where Seattle is. It's way up on the top left. And say I want to take a road trip to Miami. Miami is way down in Florida. You guys know where Miami is?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to take a road trip. There's a few things I know about my road trip. One is I'm going from west to east. I'm going north to south. I know that I have to drive on the road. I know that I have to follow this. I don't have to follow the speed limit, but there are speed limits set for me. I know that I have to sleep somewhere and I have to eat somewhere. Those are some of the things that I know for sure I have to do on this road trip. But if you think about it, there's a lot of things that I get to decide. There's a lot of freedom that I have on my little road trip here. Think about it. I could drive from Seattle. I could drive all the way down to almost Mexico. I could go back up to Michigan. I could drive to New York. I could hit the East Coast and go down to Miami. Like, there are probably an infinite amount of roads in the United States, and I could take all those different roads. And I have the freedom to choose what I want to do. There are some things that I said were certain, like, I got to sleep. But there's also a lot of freedom that I have within my road trip. And that's how I see life. There's a lot of left turns, right turns, dead ends, a lot of things that we face in life. I got to go to college. I got to pick a job, girlfriend, boyfriend. There's a lot of different decisions and freedoms that we have in our life that we are free to make, and God has given us the freedom to make those. And so if you're taking notes today, you've got your little note sheet. Your first one is, God's will gives us a lot of freedom. So let me read this verse to you. It's in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 4. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. And so initially, when I read this, and probably every other single person in the room reads this, you read this as, take delight in the Lord, and he will give me $1 million, right? That's how you want to read this, right? But who wouldn't want $1 million? But what it's really saying is, it's saying, delight in the Lord. It's saying, follow him, trust him, love him. And he's going to support you back. He will be there back for you to support you in whatever you choose to do. You have that freedom to do that. And when I was a little kid, I'm sure you guys can relate to this a little bit. You might still relate to this because some of you are like, that's all. You go into the backyard in the summer and you play. We have all these different things. At my house, we had a pool. We had a slip and slide. We had a playhouse. We had a treehouse in the trees. We had I said that on purpose to see if I could catch you. I said treehouse in the trees. Anyways, not a funny joke. but we had all these different things in our backyard that we could play with. And the thing about it is, there wasn't any time where my mom was like, all right, you got to go in the backyard and play basketball. Or she didn't put this big like bulletin board up in my backyard and say, hey, you from 3:30 to 4, you're going to be in the pool. And then from 4 o'clock until 4:15, you're playing basketball. Like, my mom never did that. All my mom said was, you got to go in the backyard as long as you stay within the fence. As long as you're not trying to jump off the roof and kill yourself, then you can do whatever you want in the backyard if it's safe. And that's kind of how I see God's will for my life. That's how I see it, is that he's saying, there's some certainties that I've laid out for you, some things that you need to follow. A lot of them are in the Bible. But the thing about that is that you have a lot of freedom. As long as you stay within these guidelines that I've set, I will support you in those choices that you make. Can you guys imagine how weird life would be if everything, every second was planned out for you? Just think about that. Imagine that for a second. Imagine if that yay that you just let out was planned. We would just be like zombies, right? We'd just be like robots. It would be like Star Wars. I like Star Wars. I'm like a little Star Wars nerd on the side. It would be like the clone guys that get off the ship and they do the exact same thing and they eat the exact same meal and they poop at the exact same time. They do all this stuff together. That'd be pretty boring. There'd be no real emotions. There'd be no real feelings. And life would honestly just suck if everything was planned out for us. And because of that, I'm super thankful. I don't know about you guys, but I'm super thankful that God has given me the freedom to make choices in my life. The thing about life is that if you view it as a game plan, there's always going to be a rule book. Everybody knows that every single game has a rule book to go with it, and that's going to be your next villain. I hate the word rules, because when I hear the word rule, it makes me want to break it, just like that, okay? So we're at MOVE this summer, and this guy stands up in a chair, and he's like, "All right, I got the rules for dodgeball this year, okay?" I'm like, "All right, whatever, rules. I want to break it." Immediately, he says rules. I'm like, "I'm going to break this." First rule he says is like, "Rule number one, don't be a tool." And I'm like, I'm a tool. I'm done. Like, that is my immediate reaction to rules. I hate them. I hate the word rules. But the thing about rules is that we can break them in the short run, but in the long run, if we just keep breaking the rules over and over again, then we're not going to succeed. We're just going to fall right back to where we were. And I want to read you a verse out of John, chapter 14, verse 15. And it's really short, but it's really strong. And it says, "If you love me," Jesus is saying this, "obey my commands." If you love me, obey my commands. The Seahawks are playing right now. And I love hanging out with my friends during the Seahawks game. Like, we all have a bunch of people over, and we get way into it. And I love it because we eat, like, crappy food. And my favorite part of the game is when we get together and we're sitting there and Marshawn Lynch, he breaks like a 75-yard touchdown run, and I get all excited, like my adrenaline, and I jump up and we're like hugging and laughing and we're like, "Oh my goodness, this is the greatest moment of my life." And we're like kissing each other, like I'm kissing Kevin, and then I'm like, "Wait, what am I doing right now?" And I'm like, "I don't care, he just scored a touchdown." And then we look at the TV screen and there was a penalty. Holding, number 84. Football players, you know how much that hurts. Holding on an offensive lineman. Touchdown's no good. And it's just like, you go from this like, "Oh," and you just crash. You're just like, "My life is over." But that lineman, that guy that was caught for holding, he helped Marshawn get through the line. He broke open that hole for him. But the thing is, he was breaking the rule. So in the short run, sure, we all got like high off our adrenaline and we're like, "Woo." But the thing is, he got caught and he broke the rules. And when I was going into college, when I was about your guys' age, graduating high school, I was breaking the rules big time. I was all about, let's see, how do I explain this? I was trying to find the easiest way to get through college, so the easiest way, but that I could make the most money in the shortest amount of time. That's like all I was about. And I was a major nerd, okay? When I was a senior in high school, what I liked to do in my spare time, when I wasn't doing homework, obviously, was I'd get on Craigslist, and I'd be like, "I love Nissan Pathfinders." So I'd literally just spend hours looking at Nissan Pathfinders all day. And then I was like, "Oh, I'm going to have a huge house on a lake. Like, this is going to be awesome." And so I would just spend, literally, I would spend like 2 or 3 hours a day just looking at houses on Craigslist. And my heart was all about money. Like, I was looking at college, and I was like, how can I make the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time? So I started off, I was like, doctor. I was like, "Wait, no, that's like 8 years. No, that's not going to work." And then I was like, pharmacist. No, that's like 6 years. And I could not find anything. And I was like, "All right, God, I'm realizing that in my life, I'm trying to break the rules. Like, I'm all about money. That's all I care about is what I can get. I'm breaking the rules." And God, he kicked my butt in a big way. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the thing about this rule book that God has for us, these guidelines, is that he didn't set them because he just wants to be like overbearing parent on a Friday night that's like, "Oh, you have to be home by 11 or else I'm going to punish you for the rest of your life." Like, God is not trying to be that parent. Some of you are like, "Yeah, that's my mom." God is just, he's trying to help us succeed. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to follow him and love him. And so he sets these guidelines for us so that we can succeed. And this next fill-in that we're going to have is just a statement that I have. It's, don't be a dummy, Use your brain. It's pretty simple. You can write that down. And I would like circle that and highlight the crap out of that. And I'm going to do the same thing because I am a dummy all the time. But the thing is that with all of this freedom that God gives us within his will, God wants us to be smart with it. He doesn't want us to be stupid, but we're stupid over and over again, aren't we? I'm stupid all the time. You can ask my mom and dad when I was growing up. I was a dummy. There's two huge ways that we are just dummies to God. And the first one is that we don't listen to God when he's talking to us. Because even though he's given us all this freedom, there are going to be times in your life where he's going to talk specifically to you and say, here's what I want you to do. And the thing about it is that we got to listen. We got to be willing to listen to God. And the second thing is we spend so much time listening sometimes that we don't do anything about it. We don't do anything in our lives. We just sit around. And that's a huge, huge one for me. I like to ask God about relationships. I like to ask God about money, jobs, all this stuff. I like to talk to him about those kinds of things. But the thing about it is that when I ask him a question, sometimes like, God, are you going to help me make more money? Here's what I hear most of the time. That's it. I don't hear anything back. I ask God a lot of questions. I say 99% of the time, I ask God a question, and I don't hear anything back. But the thing about that is I start processing that. I'm like, okay, what are you trying to say to me, God? Silence. What I hear is God saying, Jordan, I've given you the freedom within this. As long as you're staying within these guidelines, this rule book that I've set for you, as long as you're staying with that, I'm going to support you in the choices that you make, as long as you're inside of that. And so I got a little funny story about listening to God for way too long. So a little disclaimer before I tell this story. I'm not trying to take away from anybody at all. I'm not trying to take away from this specific person. Really great person, really nice person. But we all have times in our lives where we mess up. And I just so happen to be involved in this mess up, this dummy moment. So rewind a couple years. And I went on this little trip, a couple friends, and this girl came along. And I was like, oh, girl. Automatically, I'm like, uh-huh, okay, girl. And come to find out, said girl has boyfriend. Okay, whatever. Don't put a ring on it. And so, a year goes by, okay, and I look on Facebook, and I see so-and-so has ended relationship with said male. And I was like, oh, all right, time for me to swoop in. And so I start trying to swoop in, and my trying to swoop in is I'm trying to be a dude, okay? Because some guys know this, that you can't get somebody's phone number from another person. Like, the girl's just going to be like, uh-uh, that's not cool. You can't go on Facebook and, like, message a girl. That's not cool. So I was trying to come up with some tricky little way that I could talk to this girl, because I literally never saw her. So I pulled this whole move, okay? Get this. I went to a mutual friend that we have, and I said, will you set me up on a blind date with this girl? I was like, okay. And she agreed to it. I was like, all right, sweet. I know it's not blind, but she doesn't know that. And so this girl tries setting it up, and this girl will not go on this blind date. Not because she doesn't know it's me, but because she's like, oh, I'm scared. I don't know if I want to go out on a date with him. So finally, I just give up. I'm like, all right, I'm going to break the rules. I get her phone number from my friend, and I just call her one night. She has no idea this is coming. Keep that in mind. I just call her. And I'm like, hey. I'm like, this is Jordan Merck. She's like, oh, nice to hear from you. I've met you one time. I'm like, yeah, so I think you're cute, and do you want to go to Starbucks on Wednesday with me? And she was like, oh, okay, sure. So we go to Starbucks, and we hang out. And we kind of hit it off, and we start talking. But there's a catch. So as some of you guys know, when a breakup happens, it's not always like a clean break, we're gone. Come to find out, my little girlfriend here wasn't done with ex-boyfriend. So I was like, oh, crap. I gotta get on my game here. I got to impress her. So I DTR to find the relationship with her, and I'm like, we're going to talk about this. Like, do you like me? And she was like, I do, but I like him too. And I'm like, oh, okay. And here's what I was told. And it frustrated the crap out of me. She said, I need to pray about who I need to be with. I need God to tell me whether I need to be with you or with him. And I was like, Cool. All the ladies in the room right now are probably like, Jordan, get out of there right now. I'm going to beat you in the... And then all like the guys in the room are like, dude, she's probably cute, so you should stay with her, right? And I was like, yeah, I agree with you. Okay? But all the ladies in the room know that I should have ran away. And so I literally spent like, okay, sorry, disclaimer. I don't have a problem praying about relationships. I think it's awesome and I think you should do it. But here's where the problem came in. 2 weeks later, still no answer. And I just turned into the biggest tool in the world. Literally, I was like, oh, this is weighing on me so spiritually. I need to fast from food for an entire day because I need her to be able to choose me, okay? So maybe if I fast, God's going to pick me. Literally did that, okay? Tool, major. Oh, don't ever do that. Thankfully, I have the greatest friends in the world, and they kicked my butt, and they were like, you need to go. She's not going to decide. If she's not deciding by now, then it's time to go because it's been so long. And sometimes in life, in a lot of different areas, we spend so much time listening, trying to hear God just speak to us in like Morgan Freeman voice, like, you should be with Jordan right now. Ooh, that was really cool. And I did not expect that. But we wait for that voice to just punch us in the face, and it never comes. And God just doesn't want us to be a dummy. He wants us to listen to him, but he's given us that freedom. And sometimes he wants us to decide because he's given us that freedom. The biggest thing that God wants to see from us, one of the biggest, it comes in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17. It says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Represent God in your freedom in all that you do. And I think that just really nails what we're talking about today. There's that phrase, it's like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This verse, when I read it this week, it completely changed the way that I started thinking about like my relationship with God. When I started thinking about, I need to represent God because I say I'm a Christian. I need to represent him the way that I think he would want to be represented. And I think that I fail at that all the time. But God, he's always there for us. I think that's so cool. The last thing here is, God's will is sometimes best seen in the rearview mirror. My favorite book of the Bible is the book of James. And if you haven't read it yet, you got to read it. Especially if you're going through a really tough time right now, just open the book of James and you're going to be like, oh, he wrote this for me. Because it's literally that good. So I'm going to read you a couple of verses. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. What I hate so much is that when we're going through a tough time or when a person is going through a tough time, and we automatically point fingers at that person. Like, you must have done something wrong in God's eyes because your life sucks right now. And I hate that. Because a lot of times, actually, not a lot of times, every time, God has a plan for us in our life. And he's going to use that tough time that we're going through. And for me, a lot of you have heard this story before. Some of you have. I went through a really tough breakup 3 years ago, it's been now. And so I've shared that before up here, and I'm just going to give you a brief overview of that. But I went through a really tough time because we dated for a year and a half, and we were really close, and then we broke up. And it was a really hard time for me. But rewind 1 year. And I had one of those moments where something happened and I didn't realize why it happened until like 3 years later. Okay, so rewind 1 year from this breakup. Sitting in the auditorium in there, and Pastor Kevin, he walks out and I'm sitting in my chair, and he walks out, he's like, so we're going to introduce our new youth pastor today. And I'm like, new youth pastor, what? And this little Asian dude walks out on stage and I'm like, okay, this is some kind of joke. Okay, they just brought that kid over. Okay, whatever. And they're like, this is Gary. And he's going to be our new youth pastor. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm leaving for college in like 2 weeks. Not a big deal. But the thing about it, it got really weird after service, was that this little Asian dude, he talked to me after service. I was like, why are you talking to me? I don't know you. And it just like, it kind of freaked me out. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I leave for college, didn't think anything of it, didn't see him for a long time. And then fast forward to, that was in August. Fast forward to December, Christmas Eve. Keep in mind, I didn't plan this out at all. I didn't even put thought into it at all. I see Gary as we're in the auditorium leaving the Christmas Eve service. And he's like, hey, man, what's up? And I'm like, hey, Gary, I think I want to help out with the youth group. And in my mind, I'm like, what did I just say? Okay. And I didn't plan it out at all. It came out. And I just said it. And so from then on, I built a relationship with him, with David Day, with a lot of the leaders in here. And then 9 months later, I went through this breakup. And 2 years later, I was thinking about, I looked in the rearview mirror, and I was like, all of this happened because God wanted those people to be in my life so that I could get through this breakup, so I could be like a normal person now. Like if I didn't have them there during that breakup, I'd probably all be like depressed, like, oh, it's been 3 years, I'm still sad. But the thing about it is I had all of them here for me, and they helped me through it. And I was thinking about this week, and it was really sad. It made me really sad. If that hadn't happened in my life, just being honest with you guys, I probably wouldn't care about a single person in this room right now. I wouldn't care about anything that's happened in this place for the last 4 years. I'd care about my sister because she's my sister, but I wouldn't care about any other person in this room. But God had a plan for my life, and I'm so thankful that he did that, and that I'm able to look back on that now, and I'm able to be stronger because of what I went through. And, man, 4 years ago, if you would have told me that I wouldn't make enough money to live on my own, that I'd be driving the car that I do drive right now, that I'd be living with like 5-6 other people, I'd tell you that you were crazy, that is absolutely ridiculous because I was going to be this rich guy with a lot of money and this cool Nissan Pathfinder. That was going to be me. I would have thought you were so crazy. But now that I'm here, I'll just be honest with you guys, I'm so thankful. So thankful that God had this plan for me and that I did screw up a lot. But ultimately, like he found me and I found him and got back on track. And that's so cool. And I know that you guys, every single person in this room has a different story. I've heard some of them. You've seen some of them on the videos. But you're not going to have the exact same story. But the thing about all of our stories is that God is always, always going to be there for you in your story, no matter where you're at. And so if you're here today, I say this every time I talk, but I really do mean this. If you're here today and you're not sure about the God thing or you're not sure about the whole Christian thing, I think it's so cool. And I just want to say, like, thank you for being here. Because I'm a Christian, and I go to other churches sometimes, and I get nervous. And so I can't even imagine how scary it is walking into a place like this. But the cool thing is that everybody here is awesome, so that's cool. But what I want you guys to think about this week, if you're not sure about the God thing, is the next time you're facing a trial, or if you're facing one right now, just throw up a quick prayer to God. Just try talking to him and see what happens. See if you can talk to him, because he has a plan for your life. He has a will for your life, and that's to follow him and love him, and he's always going to be there. And for those of you that are in the room right now and you say that you are a Christian, you have made that choice, there's two words that I want you guys to remember today. Okay, you can write these down. I don't have a fill-in. The first one is ask. And I know that I've talked a lot about how we have so much freedom from God, but the thing is that he really wants us to talk to him. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to throw those things out there and to trust him. And so don't be afraid to ask God, just to talk to him. And the second thing is decide. At the same time, God has given us tons and tons of freedom in our life to make choices. And so don't be afraid to make decisions, because sometimes he's going to give you the balls in your court. Go ahead and make that decision. So don't be afraid to ask, and don't be afraid to make decisions in your life.